It is so good to be with you. And, last summer, when I was supposed to be here, it got canceled. And I hated that. But it's good to finally meet all of you and to get to talk to you as you were coming in. And some of you have snuck in after I sat down, and hopefully I'll be able to shake you out. That's what preachers do. We shake you in, we shake you out. But I will say, I've been in Ironton since March, and we're loving it in this area, and very grateful to all of you for the warm welcome that you've given me tonight. If you would, open up your Bibles to John chapter 10. We're going to be looking at a lesson dealing with building a more abundant life. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have this idea that, you know, they're looking for the great thing in life. And they keep searching for it, and many people will add riches and stuff, you know, in the world to think that that's the abundant life, that's the great life. And there's nothing wrong with things. It's all right to have a nice home and a nice car and maybe a boat or anything else that you would like to have, as long as you don't put that ahead of God and godliness. But unfortunately, other people will add sin into it. They can't seem to fill that void in their life, in their heart. And so they go out and they're looking for maybe drugs or alcohol or something else to put that, to fill that void that's in their life. Let me tell you, Jesus is the void. He is what is missing in people's life. There's a lot of people out there tonight that are missing out. They don't have Jesus in their life, and they need us to be the ones to encourage them. We need to get the message out. You know, every day you open up the newspaper and you see more and more people that have passed away outside of Jesus Christ. They didn't have the abundant life, and they don't have the abundant eternal life as well. And that's the saddest part to this. And I'm not judging them. I'm not sitting on the throne of God or anything, just by their lifestyle and where that they lived and what happened to them. And it's sad. And so we've got a lot of work to do, a lot of work to help people and to share with people this abundant life. In John chapter 10, the passage was read just a moment ago. And I love what John says here and what he, you know, or what he writes here, but what Jesus said. It says, "I am the door. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief," and then he's talking about a thief, that's Satan there. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. He says, 'I have come that they may have life.'" And not just life, Jesus doesn't just stop there. He says, "and that they may have it more abundantly." You know, there's a difference between just living out there and existing with Jesus and with Jesus Christ and building your faith up in Christ, living in Jesus Christ. You have what Jesus says, a more abundant life. Look over in Ephesians chapter 3. Wonderful passage here that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. You know, many of the churches the churches of Galatia were having problem with the Jews coming in and trying to pull the old law in and trying to, you know, just kind of tear from the bottom, you know, the congregations. Well, here in Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 3 in verse 20, it says, "Now to him," that's Christ, he's talking about now to Christ, "who is able to exceedingly abundantly," able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Well, look at the adjectives that he uses there. He doesn't say that, he says, "now to him who is able to do all." He says, "above all." And then he doesn't stop there. "Abundantly above all." And then he goes even higher and says, "exceedingly, abundantly, above all things." There is nothing that Christ can't do spiritually in your life. In Philippians 4:13, "I can do some things through Christ." Is that what it says? "I can do most things." No, it says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It is all about Jesus Christ. It is not about this world. We put the world second or third and only the good things of the world and not the evil things that are of the world. It's all about Jesus Christ. But how do I get into Christ? You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The word gospel means good news or glad tidings. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, the good news is that Jesus came to this earth and he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again victorious over Satan, over death, over sin. That's the good news. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to obey the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. First of all, do you believe with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with everything that you have, that Jesus did come and he died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose from that grave victorious? If so, obey that gospel. How do we obey that? Romans chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. Verse 2 says, how can we who died to sin live any longer in it? First of all, Jesus died on the cross. Our obedience to that is that we die to the world. We die to sin. We separate. Death is a separation. If you talk about a physical death, it is where the soul separates from the body. That is physical death, James chapter 2. But the spirit, what we're talking about here is that we separate ourselves from the world. We separate ourselves from the sin. We repent of the past. Jesus died. We're to die. Jesus was buried. We're to be buried in a water grave of baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4. Jesus was raised. We're to be raised out of that water grave to walk in newness of life. And this is the point. This is at that point that we gain that abundant life. We don't gain that abundant life outside of Jesus Christ, only in Christ. Galatians 3:27 says the only way to get into Christ is to be baptized into him, to put him on in baptism. Those that are outside of Christ are lost. Those that are inside Jesus Christ have the abundant life. We're going to look at a few things this evening about what that abundant life looks like from John chapter 10. First of all, the abundant life means that we immerse ourselves in Christ's teaching. We just get into the Word of God, and that is the most important thing in our lives. Nothing else is more important. Brethren and friends, this book, according to what Peter says, this pertains all things that pertain to life and godliness. I don't have to worry about anything else. I don't have to worry about another revelation coming down through some other individual. I don't have to worry about trying to find some other book out in the world. All I need to do is go to the Word of God and look from Genesis through Revelation, and I see the plan of salvation. I see everything that I need to know, and we've got to love it. We've got to immerse ourselves. That means I dive right into it and I get into the Word of God and I study and read day in and day out. I hope that you're immersing yourself in Christ's teaching. If you would, look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes to the church at Colossae. He writes these words. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now notice at the very beginning of verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does that word dwell mean? The word dwell here means to dwell in one and to influence him for good. That's literally what that word means. Well, that's perfect, isn't it? If I get the Word of God and I put it into my heart, I let it dwell in my heart, it's going to influence me. It is going to change me. It is going to take me from the worldliness and the despair that I once was into God's righteousness, his marvelous light. And that's a much better place to be. You know, it's disheartening to turn on the television, to see all the despair that's going on, the depression. A couple weeks ago, there was an actor that overdosed on heroin and died. Again, searching for something, and he never found it. He was looking in the wrong place. A lot of people in our neighborhoods are looking in the wrong place, but if they look at the Word of God, and they let that dwell into their heart, they put that into their mind, boy, they're going to have a rich life. When he says richly, and in you richly, the word richly means abounding, abundantly supplied, abounding in Christian virtues and eternal possessions. So we are going to be rich, not in this life, but in the life to come. You see, what happens is that so many people live for this little short amount of time, this little bit of time that we have. James calls it that life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. This life is not all there is. We must be living for eternity. And if I had a rope, and one of the things that in a lesson I did at Ironton, I had a rope that strung all the way around the stage and over and out a door. And at the very end of the rope, I had a little piece of purple paper to show that represented your life. And the rest of the rope represented eternity. And we live for that little bit, that little section, rather than what we should be living for, the eternal life, which never ends. And so that's what he's talking about here, about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then he says, in all wisdom, that is the varied knowledge of things, human and divine, acquired by acuteness and experience and summed up through the scriptures. So how do I gain wisdom? I study. And that studying, I'm able to let the Word of God dwell in my heart. And when it dwells in my heart and it's there in my life, then I'm richer. I'm more spiritually prosperous. You know, we find in Colossians 1 and verse 3, it says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does he give thanks to the Lord and Savior, to the Lord and God, Jesus Christ? For all the blessings, all the spiritual blessings that he has been given. Look it over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How many spiritual blessings? Some of them? No. Most? No, all spiritual blessings. Secondly, not only do we need to immerse ourselves in Christ's teaching, but we need to trust it is the best for producing the life that we want. Look over in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're familiar with this passage. We know this. Many of us probably could quote these two verses. Paul writes to the church of Rome. He says, I beseech you. That's not, we sometimes kind of cross over that. I beseech you. He's saying, I plead with you. I beg you to listen. He's trying to gain their attention. Listen to what I'm about to say, he says. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And notice verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to what you see out here in this world, but be transformed, be changed from the old to the new. You probably heard this word transformed comes from a Greek word, which we get the same idea of metamorphosis. It is the idea of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. That's the idea of transforming. We were once where we were at one stage, and we transform into something totally new and different through Jesus Christ, through God. Trust it is the best. Trust that the Word of God, that the abundant life is the best thing for us, that being a Christian is the best thing for you. Now, I don't know if everybody trusts that. Now, I mean, I'm talking about Christians. I don't know if all the Christians in the church really trust that this is the best life. And sometimes, you know, we kind of understand a little bit, because there's a lot of persecution out there. There's a lot of ridicule. There's times when family members just kind of turn their back on you, and they laugh at you, and they mock you, and they say evil things about you. People at work maybe are snickering behind your back, and, you know, oh, there goes the Christian. There goes the goody-two-shoes. Always has to do everything right. And we see on television where those that are you know, the ones that are doing right are ridiculed, aren't they? Are made fun of. You know, you've got to have a little bit of a bad streak in you. You've got to be able to have a little bit of evil that runs through you. That's not the abundant life. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. Yes, I'm going to sin. But I ask God for forgiveness. But that's not what I want to be. I want the abundant life. I want to live in Jesus Christ. And I want to do the best that I possibly can for God. When you look over here in Romans chapter 12 and you see verses 9 through 21, we just talked about in verse 2 that we are to transform into something else. Verses 9 through 21, we'll go through it, but these are the transformation verses. These are the verses, if you want to know how to transform your life, to turn it away from the world, the way the world is, go to verses 9 through 21 and you can see how this is the way you change. Verse 9 in particular, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. As you go on and on, you'll see being kindly affectionate to one another. This is the abundant life. This is what people need to see in us as Christians. They need to see us that where we are out loving them. No, we're not agreeing with all their sins. We don't. We hate the sin, but we love the person. You know, there's a lot of talk in the media today about different lifestyles, especially the homosexual lifestyle of the day and homosexual marriages. We abhor the sin, but we love the person. We want them to change. We want them to come out of their sin and out of their lifestyle to be faithful to God. We don't like what they do, but we love them no matter what. That's the attitude that people need to see in Christians. They have, for years, have they been trying to twist that around and say because we dislike what they do, or, you know, anyone for that matter, that we hate them. You know, you hear this, it's hate speech. No, we hate what you do, just as God hates what you do. But we love you just like God loves you. And he sent his son to die for you, that you might have forgiveness of your sins. Is it a sin? Yes, it's a sin. Absolutely. The Bible clearly states that. But we want them to come out of their sin. And that's with anyone. I'm just using one example, and you can use any example. Anyone that's living in the world outside of Jesus Christ, we want them to come to Jesus Christ. Have you talked to your neighbors about this? What about your coworkers, friends at school? What about other family members? If I went around and if we took a poll tonight and we said, all right, I want everybody to raise your hand. Those of you that know someone that's not a Christian, every hand would probably go up. I know people that aren't Christians, have friends that aren't Christians, neighbors that aren't members, that aren't in Christ. I pray for them. I try to work with them. I invite them to come to services. And I know you do too. And it's the hardest thing to get them to come in that door, to hear the Word of God or to sit down and study the Word of God. But don't give up, because they need the abundant life. they need to know about Jesus Christ. Please, I know it's fearful. It's hard sometimes to go across the fence line and talk to your neighbor. I mean, you sit and you talk about sports and you talk about the weather and you talk about hunting and you talk about everything else. Talk about Jesus. The next time you're standing with a friend or a coworker and they bring up maybe, you know, a sports event or something else, go and say, you know, I've been wanting to ask you about, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Now, after you pick them up off the floor when they passed out because they're surprised that you said that, then you can kind of get them riled up a little bit and then talk to them. But you got to do this. It's so important. Because how bad would it be a judgment day? If you look across and you see someone and they have been separated and they hear the words depart, and as they're being departed to everlasting darkness, they say to you, hey, wait a minute. You lived next to me for so many years. I worked with you for so many years. Why did you not ever mention him to me? Judgment Day could come tonight. It could be here tomorrow. It could be here next week. There's a really good book out, other than the Bible. Of course, it's the best book. But there's a really good book that talks about how that this one man, maybe you've heard about it, A Mussel and a Shovel by Michael Shanks. Excellent book. But what it is if you are able to read it, to get it, to find it, and to read it, Brother Shanks is a member of the church over in Metropolis, Illinois, and it gives a detail to how he came out of denominationalism because one person at his job site took the time to walk up to him and say, do you know about Jesus Christ? And now he has written this book. He's also gone out, and according to what his website says, there's been 7,000 baptisms because of this. 7,000 people come to Christ. Because everything's laid out in it. Every scripture you could think of, that deals with salvation is in this book. That's just a tool. Of course, this is the best tool there is, and that's the Word of God. But take it. We got to get it into people's hands. That is the Word of God and about salvation. Finally, I want to look at the idea of obey His commands to enjoy His blessings. We have to obey His commands. In James 1:22, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Don't just listen to the Word of God. James tells us that a workless faith is dead or non-existent. If you just believe in God and go through the motions, you're just here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and then you go home and go about the rest of your life without working, then what James says, he tells us, is we have a workless faith. It's dead. It's non-existent. Have a working faith, an active faith, that people see Jesus. When they look at you, they see Jesus Christ. You know, they don't see you or this person or that person. They don't look at me and say, Jason. They see Jesus living through me. And that's who I don't want myself. I'm full of, mistakes. Just ask my wife. She's not here, so you can't ask her. That's why I threw that out there. But we all have mistakes, right? We all have weaknesses. We all have struggles that we go through day in and day out. And I pray for my weaknesses and my struggles. And I work on them daily, asking God to help me through these things. But that's not what they should see. They should see Jesus. Jesus himself said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, that you may glorify who? Your Father, which is in heaven. Who is the light? Over in 1 John chapter 1, we find out what the light is that we're to shine. It's not ourselves. In 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 6, it says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, from all sin. Where are you at tonight? Are you in Christ, living the abundant life the more abundant life are you outside of Christ, looking in at and maybe wanting to have that more abundant life. Maybe you've been searching for the abundant life out there in the world and you haven't found it. I know you haven't, because right here it says that this is the most abundant life. This is the more abundant life, is being in Christ. Why don't you do something about it tonight? Don't even wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till Wednesday night or a week from now or anything else. Change your life tonight and be part of Jesus Christ. Get into the ark of salvation, which is Christ, through baptism. Have your sins washed away. Acts 22:16 says, "What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." What are you waiting for tonight? What is holding you back? What is keeping you in the pew? What is keeping you from having your sins washed away eternally, gone, as if they never existed? Or if you're a Christian and you haven't been living the abundant life that you should, you've been focused on the world and on worldliness and other things, go to God in prayer right now, even before we sing the song of encouragement, and ask for forgiveness. And ask for help and strength and guidance through your tough time that you're going through, the sin that's weighing you down. And ask God to release that burden off of you and to forgive you. 1 John 1 and verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He," that is God, "is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins." What about you? We also, when we sing the song of encouragement in just a moment, we'll give you an opportunity, if you need to have your sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb through baptism, we'll give you that opportunity. But if you are a Christian and you've drifted back into the world, we'll give you that opportunity to come and to make amends with God and to ask for forgiveness and also ask for the prayers of this congregation. We love you. I don't know you. And in fact, we were one I was talking to and said, you know, I won't, you know, she's told me that I wouldn't remember her name. And you know what? She's right. I don't even remember her name. I think I see her, but I don't remember her name. But the important thing is that we do love you, no matter if I know who you are or not, because we love all people, everywhere, every person. So tonight, if you have any spiritual need, if something is weighing you down and you need help, please don't leave this building outside of Christ. Do not leave lost, but come to Him right now as together we stand and as we sing.